Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. You've got your host, James J., here at 7:04 on the clock. I am joined by Terry Johns.
Good morning.
We got the band back together. Good to see you, Terry.
On a Wednesday.
On a Wednesday. A weird one. Yeah, we're throwing the audience off.
Yeah, a little hump day here, you know.
Not bad. It's an election results day, so we'll get to some of that before we get to going too far here along with things. And, of course, it's the usual unusual suspects. This hour, we'll get into our National Day of Calendar, 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club, and of course, in the 9 o'clock hour, some entertainment news, good stories of the day, that ain't right stuff, see what other trouble we can get into. We'll catch up with our friends over at the United Way, because we got some exciting things going on with the United Way that we want to talk about, Terry. And plenty of other things. First off, how are you this morning?
Doing well, thanks. How about you?
Doing good. Good to hear that you're doing well. I think a lot of us are tired.
Still kind of catching up, right? Or the time change caught up with us.
The time change and being up incredibly late with election results.
Yeah.
The majority of, especially us as a station, we're up quite late for this. Nobody bother Melissa. nobody bother her at least until like 2 in the afternoon or something.
Or don't bother her in the afternoon if she's taking a nap, right?
Yes. I did want to also mention that in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Phil Hartley and our friends at Quality Plus Printing with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. Looking forward to that.
Oh, I haven't been here for that.
Yeah.
I haven't been here on a Wednesday since that started.
That's cool.
I was working with Phil on a little project earlier this week. So something that Quality Plus is going to be offering for the holiday season. So
that's exciting.
Yeah.
Cool. I got to say, I have really been enjoying having Phil and the team over there. I know that I was talking with Steph yesterday, our head of sales and marketing, and she was excited about an idea and a project they're working on. And then I hear this from you, and I heard from somebody last week that's excited about something they're working on with Phil and Quality Plus Printing. So, buy local, support local. You know, you got your printing needs. Go there. That's the place
to go. Absolutely.
I want to get right away to some election coverage and just go over what we do know so far. Not a lot is confirmed necessarily because of certainly we've got some results, some things being counted, T's being crossed, I's being dotted. That
a lot of really close races.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, there weren't a whole lot of blowouts this year, no matter where you look across the country, really, which is interesting. Also interesting seeing the number of voters in areas and all across the country again.
Well, I don't know. Even did you notice that just like on your Facebook? I mean, I guess I don't know about your friends, but I noticed on mine, people were posting just what number voter they were at their polling place. And I was like, whoa, some of them were really getting pretty far up there, which is good.
It's fantastic. So, I mean, that's a win right there. And no matter who you voted for, you can take the win on that. Another win I want to say is our coverage here at WFHR, really at Civic Media. What was done last night is no small feat. What these guys pulled off, the whole gang at Civic, everybody under that umbrella, every one of our news people that was up until the break of dawn doing this and covering this stuff, trying to get you the most up-to-date and factual information, bipartisan information, mind you, as well, which I was very happy to hear. Not that I was going to not listen one way or the other, but I was very proud of that. And a very, very good coverage. And I know it's going to come across bias, and I don't care. A special shout out to Melissa Kay. Melissa has not done this kind of stuff very often or anything, really. And she just sounded so professional, so confident, so well last night. I stayed up as late as I could with covering her, covering just kind of didn't want her being alone. And just doing a fantastic job. Just very impressed with her. Please don't tell her I said any of this, though, because I'll never hear the end of it.
And she's sleeping, so we're good.
Right. I don't have to worry about her ever either. I already told her, and I'll tell her again. But I do want to get to a couple of things. We'll start local with this one. Looking locally near us, so Nancy Vandermeer looks like that she is going to win. Now, they have 8 of 8 precincts reporting for the representative to the Assembly District 70. Looks like that she is going to beat Remy Gomez on that one. It does look like with 33 of 33 precincts reporting for representative to Assembly District 71, Katrina Shankland is going to win that over Scott Soisic. And it looks locally here in the 72nd district that Scott Krug is going to be victorious over Christy Greening with every precinct reporting on that one. For sheriff, of course, Sheriff Becker here locally was not being
contested.
So landslide win for him.
Excellent. Great job, Sean.
Nice work, Sean. And I certainly want to mention, of course, the race for U.S. Senate. Currently, with 98% of votes counted, Ron Johnson leads 50 to 49%. Got a little bit of numbers being collected still with that. And nothing being called yet either on that one. Neither party confirming or, you know,
giving up. I mean, that's still tight.
And same thing with a similar story with a governor as Tony Evers. This one a little bit more in hand, but still 51% over 47%, 99% of votes counted. So I wouldn't say that it's
locked because in. There was an independent in that race as well, right? So that's kind of. I'm just saying, you know, if somebody does the math, like that's where the gap of the percentages
Jonah falls. Lise Bellinger was the independent there, and she did get 1% of the vote. So, you know, noteworthy. If you're looking for coverage throughout your, you know, we have NPR, you have WPR, you have AP. There's a couple of sources I trust when it comes to that, but I personally like to use all of them. Like, I check at all of
like
those.
Like, flip back and forth between them.
Yeah. And, of course, our own Wood County. I recommend that one highly. We were using that last night. I know Melissa was using that well. And they did such a great job of keeping that up to date.
Oh, that's good.
Like, incredible work by them over there. I know how busy they are. I know how they don't exactly have a ton of arms over there. Nice work by our Wood County department, as always, as they have been. We've been saved that a lot.
No delay with the Wood County Sheriff numbers?
No. Surprisingly, Dare. But for the Wood County results and Wood County numbers, you can go to co.wood.wi.us, co.wood.wi.us. A couple of other noteworthy things, just nationally, looking at I don't know, Terry, for me, I'm always excited about seeing change. Seeing growth in our country, even if it doesn't happen here, even if it doesn't happen in our time zone. And it doesn't necessarily, I don't have a party, so it doesn't have to do with a certain party winning over another or anything like that. I just like seeing growth in our country. Not so much change isn't the right word for me. Growth, evolution is what I see. And that means more representation, more people having a voice. We are a very, very melting pot. We should have more than just one type of voice. And seeing Wes Moore win, projected to be Maryland's new governor-elect, become the state's first black governor. The Democrat is also just the third black man to be elected governor in the U.S. history. Marina Healy made history in two ways with her projected win in Massachusetts governoral race. She's the first woman elected as the state's governor and the first openly lesbian governor in U.S. history. And then Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Republican Sarah Huckabee Sanders, is projected to win the Arkansas governor race, making her the first woman elected governor in the state. Maxwell Frost, Democrat. This one is incredibly impressive to me. Democrat Maxwell Frost is projected to win Florida's 10th congressional district race, making him the first Democrat member of Congress from Gen Z and the first Afro-Cuban to head to Congress. You can say, and I've seen some people take both sides of this one, where he won in Florida is a, you know, traditionally Democratic area and a traditionally Cuban area. It does not take away from the fact that he won. And if you know anything about the politics of Florida, especially with the Cuban vote, it is still surprising that they vote for a Democrat. They tend to vote Republican down there. So just a very, like a really, like boom, 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 just very impressive win by that young man. And then Alex Padilla, incumbent. Alex became the first Latino in California to be elected to the Senate. It was appointed, that's about it for those results. But just in very impressive, very interesting, the tapestry, you know, that has gone on. And you could go ahead and point to a million times where the same old, you know, kind of thing. But that's growth. That's change. And I think that one thing that we can all take from this, the I don't want to say record numbers, but the huge amount of voting numbers that we saw, whether it was our local elections or our major ones. This is the third election in a row, going back to the presidential election for me, where I went to the vote. I go to Centralia Center to vote.
Uh-huh.
And it was not only incredibly organized and well done, but I saw nothing but strangers. I didn't see anybody I recognized. It's like the third time that's happened. And that's a great thing to see. Like, I love running into people I know and everything, but you can relate to this to a degree, not to the degree I am. You're in a much higher level, but you do a job like this. You do Morning Magazine. You meet a lot of people.
Sure. And you can't go anywhere without seeing someone, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So to run into a situation where you don't recognize anybody, and it's like 40, 50 people, we're not talking like one or two people here, that's impressive. That means that people are getting out. They're getting out. They're voting. They care about their voice. They care about democracy. That matters. That's awesome to see.
I saw lots of "I voted" stickers yesterday, was wearing mine, and I like that because I just thought it was awesome. You know, you just meeting people wherever. Yeah. You know, I had a couple of meetings outside the office, and I'm just seeing people walking around. And I'm like, it's awesome, and I love that people are proud of it.
It's a reminder of what we keep talking about, but not enough people seem to really focus on. We are so connected, and we have more in common than not. Look at voting. Look at how many of us voted. Look at how many of us come from different walks of life, have different desires, causes, meanings, moral compasses, all these things. We all went to the voting booth yesterday. We all voted. We all cared. At that being said, I believe there was like 50-some percent of Wood County voters that were eligible to vote voted or something like that. And I'm hearing more and more people say how blown away they are by that. That's a high number.
So that's
impressive.
Sad.
It's incredibly sad. Like, it's incredibly sad.
Like, I'd rather hear we're at like, what, 85%, you know?
80% would be low to me. Like, 79% would
in
be
theory,
low to me.
Yes.
In theory, and yes. In theory. Like, we wouldn't accept these numbers with anything else. Like, we wouldn't be okay with, like...
Like, cheering for 50?
Yeah, you know? Like, it's ridiculous. And that's where... Like, more and more, we need to get the people that are disengaged with politics to... I'm not saying get them engaged. This is, and politics is very similar to me than religion. I don't think you choose it. It chooses you. I think that it is a calling. It is something that you feel and you go to. You don't, it's not a, just because, well, I'm you know, it's my job that I have to go to church on Sunday, so I'm going to do it. No, you do it because there's a calling to you. It's a feeling. You want to do this. Politics should be very similar. Unfortunately, I think it's getting more and more to the point where we need, like, it's like, hey, you need to represent here. Like, I don't want to hear you complaining if you ain't doing anything. It's very hard to, you can't get people engaged. They will or they won't.
Don't you think that people, though, just kind of become a little bit desensitized or disillusioned with it because of the extremes? You know what I mean? It's like, it's extremely one direction, extremely the other direction, and then the constant, you know, you could not in the last week turn on the TV.
Right.
Doesn't matter. It could even be the Hallmark Channel.
Yep.
But you know what I mean? And so I think it's that. But for me, I think that we need to do a better job of helping people understand, you know, kind of what is their civic duty and their right as an American.
Yeah.
You know, you know what I mean? That it's something that you don't have to do days and days and days of research. And, you know, honestly, if you go to vote and there's a section on there that you're unfamiliar with, you can skip that one.
Right.
Truly, you know what I mean? If you're really not comfortable making a selection. But I don't know. I think that there's something kind of lost somewhere in the whole civics of it.
Oh,
you know, the whole, the history, the how we got to where we are. I think that that's
Agreed.
Just lost on a lot of people.
From the explanation of how our system works to the history. As
and
you
that
said
it truly,
there, I think.
You know, it truly is a right. It truly is a gift. You know, it's a gift.
It's
so,
a gift.
So I, for me, I think that that's where the, I don't know, the break is.
Yeah. I don't take that lightly, the disenchanted, the disengaged, the people who are burnt out or done with this whole thing or what have you. I will say, though, you don't get to do that.
Well, like, isn't that even more reason to go
That's
vote?
More
yeah,
reason
yeah, yeah. No,
to,
I agree. But
imagine this. Imagine that you spent, okay, you move into an apartment and you're living there for 20 years and you never pay rent. You don't get to know a single one of your neighbors. You never do a single thing, lift a single finger to help that apartment complex or that building or anything. And your neighbors, after a while, are going to say, you know, probably be talking about you behind your back and all that stuff. Like, put that on the level of the American who has never lifted a finger to help democracy. I don't care if you write in a voting candidate or a Homer Simpson, but the fact that you didn't
Why did you
get engaged,
him?
You didn't care enough to just do a little bit of like
it's annoying, and it's daunting. And look, we all won today because number one, attack ads are done, so everybody wins. Really, everybody voting, not voting, everybody wins on that one. I get it. Trust me, I work this job. You know what? Try dealing with anti-Semitic emails like as soon as the election season kicks in. Like that's what I've been dealing with for the, almost the past 10 years. All right, so don't tell me about being disengaged and I don't care and it's boring to me and all this stuff. That's all the more reason to get involved. You're tired of money in politics. You're tired of politics being dividing and all this. Get involved. That's what the younger generation is doing. We just saw our first Gen Z person be elected. It's the first. It's not the last. You're going to see a lot more of this. And if you've got a way of life that you like and you're comfortable with and everything, I don't know how much longer that's going to be that way. Because this younger generation, they are not sitting pack. They're not just sitting there on the sidelines and waiting for the older generation to die off and so that they can take office or something like that. And I'm not just talking about politics. It's everything that they're involved in. There is not the case where you can point at that Gen Z and say, oh, look at them. They're this, this, and this. You have to look at that generation with your head up. You have to look at that generation and meet them eye to eye because they are not waiting. They are not going to just sit back. And more power to them. Like, why should they? It's their future. The idea that they're that we are just going to sit here and keep dealing with the same voters every a cycle is ridiculous. Like, there needs to be more and more people engaged. And the question yesterday about having a federal holiday for voting, well, we haven't earned that. We don't deserve that. I think we should. I think we should have a federal holiday that allows us to go vote and all this, or at the very least, a half day or something like that. But we haven't earned it. We just have not earned it as a society. We have proven, whether it's a presidential election or local elections, when we're pumping our fists and doing the Heisman because we got 50% of the population to vote, that's so ridiculous, so do you, man. Only, that's a smack in the face to democracy to me.
Do you only get the day off if you show your vote sticker?
Yeah, yeah, yes, yes. There we go.
There's no, it can't just be a free one.
Nope, nope. before we go to, because we'll probably go to Melissa's news a little early here, but before we do that, Terry, I did want to catch up with you about the United Way. Got a lot of great, exciting things going on over there. How is the Reese silent auction? Is that coming together?
Yeah, so the deadline to sign up to donate a wreath was actually yesterday. Or is it the 10th? I'm sorry.
I have register your wreath by Thursday, the 10th. November 10th.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, the 10th. And then we need those by the 17th. So that's where I was getting the 7 mm-hmm, in there. I was turned around.
Understandable.
So, okay, so you could register a wreath up through tomorrow, November 10th. And we have 20 spots available. And we currently have 14 wreaths. So we've got a nice selection. But if mm-hmm. anybody is out there thinking, oh, I'm, you know, might want to create a wreath, donate a wreath, you certainly can do that up through Thursday. And then those wreaths will go up for auction on December 1st. And this is an online silent auction, December 1st through the 6th. So it's a great opportunity to pick up a gift for someone.
Oh, yeah.
Or
for
yourself, you know, something to hang on your door. We have a really, really, really great supporter of United Way and a great individual, Jeannie Kranz, and she's part of our Women United group. But she's our, you know, she's like our hostess with the mostest, right? Yeah, like she hosts the meetings at her house and does all this stuff. But she creates wreaths for us, and they are absolutely gorgeous. And she dropped off the two that she made yesterday, and they're beautiful. So, you know, if that's a foretaste of what's coming, you know, with the rest of them, I think that that's really awesome. So I want to thank everybody who's already signed up to donate a wreath, and then encourage people to start watching that week after Thanksgiving. You know, we'll start having some information about how to create your login and get on and do that silent auction. So that's really cool. And then next week, Wednesday, we have our WFHR Radiothon.
We're a week away. United Way Radiothon.
So two Wednesdays in a row.
Yes.
Scary.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So for that, we will be here, and we will have many of our partners that programs that United Way helps to fund will be here. And we will be from 7 a.m. till 10:30 a.m. We'll be talking about impact that United Way has in the community, and a little deeper than what we do when we meet now, or you know, maybe like Morning Magazine, right? It'll be like seven segments of Morning Magazine,
similar to that.
And so I've got several of our funded partners coming in. I also have Craig Bourne, who is our campaign chair, coming in, and so we'll have them, you know, for a little bit longer chunks of time, you know, maybe 20, 25 minutes. where, you know, they can share with us the impact that United Way funding has on their organization and on right. those programs. And I think why it's important for the listeners to hear that is because, you know, I'm here, and especially in the fall, asking people to donate money, right? To say, this is our campaign time. Yeah. If you haven't made a donation, you should make one. Here's why. Well, they're going to be giving you a whole bunch of here's why. And so during that time frame from 7 to 10:30, individuals can call in a pledge. So they could call and say, you know, hey, I'd like to make a $50 donation. And Stephanie from the United Way office will help them with that, with, you know, billing or however it is, take their credit card information, however people want to donate. And then there's a cool feature for businesses in our community as well. So if they donate between $500 and $1,000 to the campaign during that radiothon, so during that 3.5 yes. hours, they will receive in-kind advertising for the same amount from Civic Media. So they could advertise here on WFHR. And even if they are an existing advertiser, they could do that. It would just be for a new campaign, right? So if there's something new that you want to promote mm-hmm. or whatever, but it's a great, great, great opportunity oh, yeah. to you know, give to the community and then receive something in exchange. That doesn't really just sounds a little too good to be true.
Yeah.
But it's real.
It's real.
And so, you know, we're really looking forward to that and just being able to share a little bit more in depth.
It's going to be fun to be able to stretch our legs and be able to really take our time with some of these subjects. There's so many of them. And every year we've done this, Terry, I know that, you know, you and I talk multiple times a week and everything, and I still learn something from the United Way Radiothon. I still usually, oh, that I didn't realize, or the depth of something I didn't quite catch. It's a great time for us because not only are we collecting money for the campaign that is going to help so many people, a countless amount of people, really, but it's a chance for us to be able to do that, and also for us to really show our appreciation for what you guys do. It kind of gets lost in the shuffle a little bit, but it's one thing that I've noticed the last couple of times we've done this is the appreciation from the community about the United Way. Really, it becomes an appreciation day as well, as much as it is a radiothon, and that's really fun for those of us that back what you guys do and support what you guys do and really believe in what you do. We're looking forward to this, the radiothon next Wednesday, 7 to 10:30. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a blast, everybody.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And then one other thing that we kind of have, you know, coming up. So we have a special report that we'll release on Friday, and this is our Alice, which is yeah. our, you know, this is really a report around the underemployed in our community and people who are probably doing okay enough to get by, but are one, you know, kind of crisis away from a financial hardship. And so there is a special report of Alice focusing on veterans. And so that'll come out on Friday. And then Ben from our team will be here next Tuesday with you for Morning Magazine mm-hmm. To talk about that report. So, you know, looking forward to learning and seeing what is included there and how, you know, I don't think it's shocking to anyone, especially not to us, but really to put some quantitative and quality data around, you know, veterans that are struggling in our community. And what that impact is.
Yeah, so much of it isn't usually that surprising as much as it is just important to know informative, but also really a really good time thing to have that too. So I know that that's another one that I always learn from. So looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Too. What we're going to do is we're going to go to Melissa's news a little bit. Actually, Seth's news a little bit early. Seth is doing the news today. I almost forgot about that. And a shout out to him.
When the voice started, we probably would have.
Yeah, probably figured it out.
Or I'm like, Melissa's really tired.
Boy, my girl's real tired. Like, sounds like she's from Minnesota, even. Seth, a big shout out to you for covering the news today. Thank you so much for that, brother. Appreciate it. We'll be back with more after this break. We got plenty to get to. It's mornings here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you at 7:34 on the clock. Hope you're having a good Wednesday out there. Let us dive into what our National Day of Calendar says for this November 9th, 2022. It is Chaos Never Dies Day.
That's seriously what I'm laughing about.
Yeah. There are, let's face it, quite a number of days depicted to stress relief, calmness, and generally taking it easy. All of these days work on the premise that we're too busy, too bustly, and need to step away from it all for a little while. But the world doesn't work like that. We're all busy all the time, and nothing's ever simple or quiet. Chaos Never Dies Day takes the stance that the perfect quiet moment we're all striving for and anticipating doesn't and likely never will exist, and that we should make make the most of the now, chaos and all, and embrace the moment.
Lower your expectations.
that's another way to turn it. Yeah, that's another way to do it. Life is entropy. It is chaos. That is the universe. That is the way it works. I come back to what my nana used to tell me all the time. You want to make plans? You want to make God laugh? Make plans.
There you go.
But there's also I don't know. There's a beauty in that too. The unpredictability of it.
Well, or like it says, you take today as what it is, right? Yeah. Like, first of all, you're not guaranteed a tomorrow. And, right. You know, you just suck it up, right?
Yes.
Work your way through it. Don't make it a thing.
We all learn really early in life that life ain't fair. I mean, we kind of get over that part pretty quickly. The majority of us.
Are you a middle child?
No.
I know. I'm just teasing.
But you would think. But again, I think that's the beauty of life. We focus so much on the unexpected negatives that happen. What about the positive unexpected that's happened? How many times have good things or things worked out better? And it doesn't always have to be something huge. Sometimes it's getting a break with every green light or something like that. That's chaos, too. That wasn't supposed to happen, and that was a good thing. Right? It can go both ways. Benjamin Banneker Week. Benjamin Banneker Week is celebrated during one day within the week of November 9th each year and can be conducted in grades pre-K through 12th grade in schools and in the community. The focus of the day is on mathematics and has two common ideas for the activities, but the hosts that the autonomy to choose varieties avenues to celebrate. So you can construct a creative clock face using mathematics to create the numbers or creating a mathematical poem. This is a national event sponsored by Benjamin Banneker Association to encourage kids to learn more about these things. It's not bad. National Louisiana Day. Good morning to the Cajun State, NOLA, all the great places in Louisiana. British Pudding Day.
Does it look like pudding?
It does not look like pudding to me.
It looks kind of scary.
It looks very scary. It looks like something I do not want on my plate.
It looks like it jiggles.
Tracing its history back to the early 14th century, British pudding has evolved over time. The name likely started out as a podding, which literally was an animal stomach filled with meat and
boiled. See,
and
told
boiled.
You.
Yeah. And considering that, at the time, it wasn't something. So it was something sort of like a sausage. The term was something was sort of fitting. Yeah, no.
Ew.
National Scrapple Day? What is this?
I don't know.
I'm not sure about all these things.
It doesn't
so
look
far.
Terrible. It looks like something apple, right? Do you think?
Scrapple is an unusual comfort food that has existed since the Middle Ages. When the Germans brought it over, the Pennsylvania Dutch were able to keep this tradition alive as the time moved forward. This meaty dish has a reputation for its unusualness because of what it's made of. If you're curious about what that might be, then, oh boy, we're going to have to read more.
Oh, why did I think it was apple? It kind of looked like an apple crisp or something, picture.
They tease you with with it rhyming, with apple being in the word scrapple.
Oh, keep going down. Keep reading.
It's a dish made of the leftover butchering of different animals such as pigs, chickens, and cows, more specifically the entrails and internal organs. Well, I guess nobody's having breakfast this morning. I apologize.
Oh, but keep going.
Everybody.
Keep going.
Internal organs, which are boiled, minced, and mixed with cornbread, wheat flour, and spices. It is that. Then made into a loaf, sliced, and pan-fried. Jeez. Scrapple has its origins in the medieval Europe by the Germans. It came over through the Pennsylvania Dutch, who called the dish panhos, which translates to pan-rabbit.
Okay, at least this one, Scrapple, when you hear that it's called Scrapple, right, it's all the scraps.
Yeah, fine. Yeah.
The British pudding?
No.
Seemingly to be the same thing, but they're disguising it as a dessert.
They really mess with you, the British pudding one. That really messes with you. That's lying to you. It's that's not fair. They would the point of this meal so much stems from making something out of nothing. Like you don't have a whole lot, use what you got. But they also seem to go above and beyond with it. Then putting it, it'd be enough to do all that stuff, but then to put it into the bread and everything, I feel like that's taking it even farther. It is also Carl Sagan Day. This is a good one. I'll just personally, I think it is. A unique mind, Carl Sagan offered the world a variety of new discoveries in science as well as new ways to think about the world. You know, maybe Mr. Wizard may have been a little bit shortly after for me in our generation, Terry. But, you know, Bill Nye and some of these guys that made science fun, made it interesting. I think that's all well and good. Carl Sagan was the first person that made me think that I could understand science, that I could believe, sure. I could... Not only could I struggle with intelligence my whole life, worrying that I was not intelligent enough to understand big concepts or big deals, big things. Carl Sagan, the way he explained things and broke things down, to me as a young person, like it, my brain was just sucking up all that information. I could
or
not,
like you didn't have to be a scientist
yes,
to understand.
Yes, to understand the universe for so long that was the case. And people like Carl Sagan really paved the way for your Neil deGrasse Tysons and all these other great minds, because it's a big, beautiful universe. We should, you should be interested in it and be curious about a little bit of it at least. Great day to celebrate one of the greatest minds the universe has really known in Carl Sagan. Great, great mind. It's also World Freedom Day. Today's the day where you get to experience freedom. No, we're in America. We get to experience this all the time. In many parts of the world, though, freedom is something that is taken for granted. The freedom to choose any religion we want or no religion at all. The freedom to be in a relationship with the person we love. The freedom to travel. The list goes on. Unfortunately, there are many, many places in the world where these freedoms are not available to most people who are forced to live empty, unfulfilling lives so the rulers of their countries don't have them thrown in jail or worse. If you don't know what it means to be afraid to voice your opinion, then you can consider yourself very lucky to live in a place where liberty is a priority as well as a basic human right. It's a perfect day to appreciate what we have.
Absolutely.
Maybe your person didn't win. You got to vote in a free election. And let's get this out of the way right now, too. And all
oh, boy.
Right. a fair election and a one that was run well and done properly without any mischievousness or any of that stuff. Did you notice that the people that were back in this whole the 2020 election was fraudulent and all this? None of them won. None of them won. The American people have spoken. Move on. Let it go.
Honestly didn't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Take a look.
I think I've moved on. I don't think I noticed.
The only people who haven't moved on are mainly politicians who have nothing better to say. They don't actually have anything to stand on, so they're going to go backwards in time. These are the things to appreciate. These are things that we get very caught up in because we experience it every day. We're so close to it. I don't think we get to really truly appreciate what it's like. And even especially people like myself that have lived in this country only in this country my whole life. I've never experienced what it's like to be in a third world country or in a dictatorship or anything like that. I'm spoiled. I understand my privilege and I'm very thankful for it. I love this country. It's the reason I bark as much as I do about it. I wouldn't be barking if I didn't care. It is also National Fried Chicken Sandwich Day. Sandwiches are fried chicken. Both sandwiches and fried chicken have been around for centuries, but making the chicken boneless and putting it in a bun is certainly a notable and delicious way to change the experience.
Okay. Have you had the spicy crispy chicken sandwich from Culver's?
Oh, yeah.
It is like the greatest sandwich ever.
Yeah, my dad loves that thing. Yeah. My dad never does this, but you know it's incredibly good food if he's like, Jimmy, you got to try this. Because he'll just devour it himself and then tell you, hey, you should get one.
you should try this, but last bite just went in. Sorry. Yeah.
If he breaks off a piece for you or something like that, you know, like, oh, I better try this.
Or it's bad.
One of these days he's going to get me on that. You're so right. You're so right. We will take
there's no meat left and it's just the bread?
It's just the bread. It's like, whoa, I didn't know. I didn't know. We'll take a quick, we'll take a long break actually here, and we'll come back and get into some more fun stuff. We got to talk about the single winning ticket for the Powerball jackpot.
There was one?
Yeah, I got to talk about that. Coming up at mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Locally grown radio. We hope you're having a great one out there. 7:48 on the clock. Terry and James here with you.
So not much changes in a week. When does that switch to Christmas music?
Oh, yeah. Sometime. Anytime.
Okay. All right.
Although around here, probably after Thanksgiving, because that's kind of our tradition. That's kind of what we do. Yeah, yeah. We give Thanksgiving its due, and then we go right into Christmas and forget completely about it.
Fine.
It was, so you probably heard, but the Powerball drawing finally happened yesterday after a long delay, and no, you did not win. It was supposed to happen Monday night,
that
but one
kind of rude.
Yeah, it is. One state still hadn't committed, confirmed their sales, which has happened first. The winning numbers were finally announced 10 hours later, and a single ticket sold in California hit the $2 billion jackpot. Those curious, the winning numbers were 10, 33, 41, 47, 56, and the Powerball was 10. It was sold at a place called Joe's Service Center in just north of L.A. The California Lottery announced it on Twitter and said it's the first time they've ever made someone a billionaire.
You know, where better to sell it than Joe's Service Center?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yes, it's like,
perfect.
That's kind of, all right. If it wasn't going to be me, then fine.
I agree. If the winner opts for the lump sum, though, that's technically not true. The estimated jackpot of $1.9 billion ballooned to $2.204 billion before ticket sales ended, but the lump sum would be $996.6 million, so not a billionaire. Oh, it's just a lump of change then. Well, who needs that?
Okay, but 99, I mean, if you have $4 million in the bank, mm-hmm. then you are a billionaire, right?
Yeah. 20, yes. 23 people in 16 states matched five numbers, good for $1 million. One of them in Florida gets $2 million because they did the power play option that doubles your prize. The owner of Joe's also got $1 million for selling the winning ticket. Lottery officials gave him his giant check yesterday. If you're still
see Joe,
yeah, I want to see this. If you're still shocked you didn't win this time, don't worry. There's a fresh Powerball drawing tonight with an estimated worth of $20 million. I'm gonna just look for Joe real quick.
Estimated worth $20 tonight. Yeah. It's down to $20.
And here you go. Like literally, like what we got in our pocket. Like that's all we got left. Like I don't know. I got a rubber band in here.
What do we find in the couch?
We got an old battery. Like and $20. Like that's what you win. That's
old battery. Yeah. Hasn't exploded yet.
Nope. So I want to see Joe.
But
I
no charge.
See this picture of it. There's a couple things that popped to mind right away with this, Terry, and I think a lot of us did this. Where if you won, what would you do with the money? That kind of thing. First off, would you take the lump sum or make them pay you off? Like,
well, so there's, you know, there is a thing about that, right? So I believe it's, you know, they pay you out monthly for however many years.
Yeah.
But again, we just talked about this. You're not guaranteed tomorrow.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you get more money that way.
Yeah.
If you live the, what is it, 20 years, 21 years, 22 years, however long that spreads out. But, you know, I don't know.
I
probably taking the lump sum.
I'm
what are you doing?
I'm making them pay me every penny. Every penny.
But a lump sum.
No, I'm dragging it out.
Oh, you're dragging it out.
I'm dragging it out, and I'm getting every penny of this. I'm not getting this whole, I won $2 billion, but because I take the lump sum, I only get like a couple mil. If I'm winning this thing,
a couple mil,
I'm getting every penny out of this.
And $996 million is not a couple mil.
No,
just saying.
No, but you're right.
You'd never be able to spend it.
I will say that. You're right. Absolutely. But I will say, I've never really won stuff. If I'm going to win something, and I win something like this, not only am I going to get every penny, but to your point, and you make a very strong point, nothing's guaranteed. You're right. If I'm a billionaire, it's guaranteed. I ain't going anywhere.
But as the
I don't care what I have to do to stay alive. I'm going to stay alive long enough to get every penny of this.
So like your first 5 months worth of payment, you're going to put like in a special account for artificial life support.
It's going to be me and the head of Ted Williams just sitting next to each other like an episode of Futurama.
And
I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be a rich floating head in the jar. I'll be a rich woman.
As the old saying goes, you could get hit by a bus. Next week.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I think that maybe the advantage of, and it depends, I guess, upon your philosophy on things, but mm-hmm. the advantage of taking the lump sum is that if you live until you receive it, of course, and I think that most people would, but is that you then have the ability with that money to do things with it.
Oh,
as far as, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Leaving, like, as far as your will or as far as your heirs or, you know, your children, grandchildren, whatever. Whereas if you take the, you take the installments for a period of time, like, you can't, that's not, if you pass, you pass. Like, you can't will that to someone else.
Right.
And so I think, you know, there's that piece of it too. Like,
how,
if you have the opportunity and you win this money, like, is it yours is it, or is it your legacy? You know what, right, you know what I mean? Right. So I kind of think about it that way. Like, yes, it might end up being whatever, you know, $400 million less. Mm-hmm. But I am not, there is no way I'm spending $994 million, even if I really tried hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so for me to guarantee that I could impact, you know, countless numbers of people with it, then I would take I'd be fine with the lesser amount.
Yeah. And you know, I've seen Brewster Millions, so I know how this ends.
I
know
would that you don't get really a hot stone massage every week, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, there's certain things that we all have that, like, well, give it to charity, all that stuff. And majority of us, I think, overwhelmingly would do certain things like that. But then there's those things. Yes, absolutely. I'm never going another day in my life without a bacon double cheeseburger. I've never, like, all these, okay, things, like, listen, so many of things. Like,
if you're having a bacon double cheeseburger every day, every you day, are not, every day, you're in cardiac arrest before, nope, you're 22 years or, nope, up.
Because I'm rich. Because rich people
I'm
live.
Rich, rich, so what, you live, have like a Roto-Rooter for your, yeah, heart?
Yeah. I told you already. Me and Ted Williams are going to be sitting there talking hitting for eternity while I ask him how he was the last 400 hitter, and our heads are just in jars. Yes.
And they're not just in jars. There's enough room in the jar that it wobbles a little,
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, enough just to just to freak you out a little bit as a floating head, yes.
It's not tight in the jar.
I don't know, but more power to that person. I it's funny to me, a couple of my students were talking about this, and they were doing a bit about it, and then we actually, or they weren't doing a bit, they were supposed to be working on a sketch. They weren't, because they were talking about the Powerball and all this. And they got going on it, and this one young girl who is incredibly talented, I would not be surprised in 4 or 5 years if she's on Saturday Night Live. She's very funny and very almost a better writer than she is an actress, but she's a good actor. But she's talking about it, and the more she's talking about it, it sounds like a burden. Like that she, like somebody, like, pushed on her or something like that. Like, she didn't want the money, but they gave it to her or something. Cause,
so, like, it's following you?
Yeah. So we did a whole bit about what it actually, like, the negative of winning something,
well,
like this.
And that's this person that won. I mean, I hope they've called their insurance agent, because, yeah, that's a thing. And you know, there's so many crappy people,
yeah,
and I know that sounds,
yeah,
bad, but, like, you hear about people who actually target these people,
oh, yeah,
to try to get some share of, not saying give me money, but they actually, like, do some, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, they try to create,
yes,
a liability situation where then they are, and where do you come up with this garbage?
There's so many angles.
You can
on
spend
those
your own $2 on,
yeah,
a Powerball ticket.
Yeah,
and just, it's just chance, you know.
It really is. It really is.
It's, I mean, not it, skill. It's not, you know. I don't know.
I saw a couple statistics about this. One, you're not just more likely to be hit by lightning than to win. You're more likely to get hit by lightning twice in the same spot than to have won this. Just to give you an idea of that. And as far as the lump sum gathering, the majority, or not the majority, I shouldn't say, but it's a higher number of people that lose this all in a shorter amount of time to take the lump sum than the ones that get the, you know.
Oh, sure.
Sure. It's just surprising to me, and maybe it shouldn't be, but when I just saw, before the day that this was announced, I saw that somebody else who had won like $30, $40 million or something like that, and they're bankrupt now. Like, I don't know how that happens.
I know.
I genuinely, like, I understand I'm an adult. I understand the economy and economics and everything. That being said, I have no idea how that happens.
Like, how does that happen?
I've spent my whole life.
Like, where's your discipline?
Yeah, I mean, well, and did you have no, like, have you never heard of investing? Have you never heard of, like, a bank?
Okay, but even think about professional athletes who are broke.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously?
Happens all the time. Happens,
you know,
all,
like,
the time, yeah.
How, I mean, I know how it happens, but how does that happen?
You
know,
right, like, right. Like, how
what
that,
the heck?
It's not as surprising to me with that, but maybe it should be just as equally, because that's just like winning the lottery. You know,
I mean,
you get that first NFL contract, that's generational wealth. Though, so I mean, it's one thing for me. Hey, I can buy my mom a new car. That's one kind of wealth. Then there's generational wealth that we're talking nowadays with today's athletes.
Yeah.
And one contract could change your whole family's history. So I don't know how you can, like, that opportunity, having something like that in your hands, and just let it go. Like, hey, I spent it all on cars and chains.
You know, I know someone who one time, like, there used to be a lottery, and it might still exist. I don't know, but it was like Badger 5. Or, you know,
yeah,
like a Wisconsin one.
Yeah.
And I know someone, they don't live in town here anymore, but they did. And they won. It was a husband and wife. And I guess they won. I think it was like $23,000. So it was a, you know, it was a I'm not suggesting it's not a lot of money for some people, to them it just really wasn't.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But so they did, like, they gave 10%. We happened to go to the same church. They gave 10% to the church. They gave to somewhere else, and then they actually did kind of just blow that money. You know what I mean? There was a few things that they were like, they took a vacation and we want to do this. And I think they gave each, they have three kids, you know, gave each of them like $2,000 or, you know what I mean? Just,
yeah.
But that's different than blowing through $40 million.
I as a kid growing up watching the movie Brewster's Millions with Richard Pryor and those kind of things, like I've thought about this a lot, and it's so, I come back to what you were saying. You're never going to be able to spend it all. There's a lot of great things that you could do with that money, and it has nothing to do with necessarily buying new shoes. You know, there's a lot of other things you can do. We are going to take a quick commercial break. I do like shoes. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm all right with shoes. Yeah, I don't think I could have like 1,000 pairs.
I don't
of
like
shoes,
them as much as I used to, but I did used to like them.
I hear you on this one. We also coming up today, not only in the 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club. We're going to have our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday from our friends at Quality Plus Printing, and we still got Turkey Trivia to play, Terry. I got that coming up as well. All that and more coming up right here at WFHR.